Ramble.
We've got Oprah on the podcast today. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Tripod. We've got a very special episode.
Yes.
We've got some special guests.
Yes.
But first, the regulars. It's your boy, Ned. And we've also got Keith.
Hey.
And Zach.
Yes.
And yes. Miles.
Hey, what's up, sweethearts?
And okay. Rainey is also listening.
Woo! Shout out to Rainey.
A lot of bodies in here. Do we have Rainey, the AC on?
Slide,
we're going to slide
the chair over so people news. On YouTube can see.
Yeah, I have bad news. Hey. There's Rainey. I have bad news, and I'm so sorry to our guests who have yet to be
still
announced.
Not fixed.
It's still not fixed. The AC is broken in here. Look, it's our brand new office, baby. I put in the ask. I think they're coming to fix the AC on Friday.
I specifically wore pants thinking that you'd be blasting the AC.
No chance.
And we have, like, you know, winter, summer.
How's that,
like,
possible?
Office. I don't know. I think they said the
all
pipes
of the
froze.
Rest of the AC works.
I'm telling you, brother.
Why is it the podcast room?
I know. That's a great question.
Well, thank you for the heads up and warning.
You so got it, baby.
Well, you're wearing shorts. So
I'm
pitting
out just thinking about it, but let's meet our guests. We've got Thomas from Yes Theory.
Whoa. Hello. Wait, come on, put some mustard on that. Give him the introduction he deserves.
Well, you know, Zach told me that I was yelling too much, so I'm trying to keep it. But here's some business. Everyone,
really
turn down your volume. We've got one of our most exciting guests
hell
ever.
Yeah.
Too much. Bring the action,
Jesus.
Bring the energy.
Jesus.
They travel the globe. They have done everything. He's currently eating only fast food for a week, and if that's a spoiler, bleep that shit out, Miles.
You got it, baby.
No, it's good. Leave it.
It's in. Thomas from Yes Theory.
I don't know how to respond to that. That's a great intro. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a spontaneous podcast, but I've been wanting to meet you guys for so freaking long, and I'm so happy to.
Well, we had a lovely call 8 months ago, and we FaceTimed, and it was very cute. But then, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, Eric texted me being like, hey, I'm in town shooting with Yes Theory, and Thomas is eating a bunch of garbage, and we wanted to know if you would go eat garbage with him. And I was like, because you're sort of like the king of garbage, right? I'm like, uh-huh, let's do it. So we went and had breakfast today. But the video is that you're eating only fast food for a week, and Amar is eating only healthy for a week, and it's sort of the opposites of your normal eating habits. So you're seeing how that affects you physically and mentally, which is great.
That's right.
And I chatted about how Eat the Menu affects me physically and mentally. And you get to watch that video when it comes out. And I'm excited to watch it. Because
and to put a pin in that and come right back, we should introduce our second guest.
Yeah, of course.
We've got our good buddy, Eric Tabak. He is a long friend of ours, another former BuzzFeeder, and has been filming with Yes Theory for the past few months. So what up, Eric?
Eric!
Hello.
Okay. Again, BuzzFeed didn't fire him. He quit.
I quit and made a YLF BuzzFeed video.
Yeah.
Didn't do as well as yours.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, YLF BuzzFeed videos, they kind of had their moment.
Yeah.
I came late now to that trend.
The themes
I was a little behind.
Out.
Miles is going to make a YLF try, guys. We can't wait.
Well, I told you, I'm going to make it and then continue to work here.
Yeah,
I think it was going to be why I'll leave try, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I will leave
why
at some
I
point,
will
and
leave
this will be
guys.
Why.
That's, I'll do it during the podcast.
Really, it could be a 10-part series.
That's not a bad
over
idea.
The 10 years that you'll work here.
That's right. Brought to you by Capital One. Uh-huh. You gotta get the ad deal.
Who's in your office?
I assume our listeners are familiar with Yes Theory, but if you guys somehow are not, I kind of feel like you guys are what the Try Guys claim to be. Like, you guys do just the craziest shit.
Yeah, when you hear Try Guys, you're like, oh, it'd be like super cool, right? And you're like, well, they're trying on ladies' underwear today. And you're like, all right,
cool.
That wasn't quite what I expected, but
I think
on board.
Of Yes Theory as like adventure boys, because you go on so many adventures, you do very like wild things that are so cool. You basically you put on the map, the idea of throwing things at a map.
Throwing a dart at a map, traveling where it lands, going places with zero planning, zero preparation.
Yep.
They bungee jumped out of a helicopter with Will freaking Smith.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, we've done a lot. I'm super grateful for it, and it's I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but I never expected it to go this far.
Sure.
You know, you start it Yeah. And now I'm 6 years in. And even last night, I was like, man, I've been doing this for 6 years. Like, how did this happen?
I don't think I know how you guys started. And you also have achieved all this success without just stealing the audience of a major conglomeration, which is what we did. So fucking kudos to you. How did you get here?
It's interesting. So I studied business and computer science, but I thought I would end up in like startup. Yeah. In the startup world. And then I'd always had a passion for YouTube. Like I watched it since it came out, like 2007, 2006, 2007. I was just subscribing to all these channels. And then when I graduated, I just kind of had a moment where I paused and I was like, if I could do anything and I could succeed at whatever I tried, what would I want to do? And making videos on YouTube popped up, even though I'd never really had any experience doing it. And then jumped into it. And I wanted it to have some kind of a sense of purpose and direction for me in my life as well. And then the idea of getting out of my comfort zone felt like it was something that would help me grow and expand and change my horizons. And I had a mentor a teacher who had said that the greatest way to achieve creativity is to do things that you don't usually do, like break out of your regular pattern. That's what we were just talking about with Ned, how hard it was last year with COVID. Like everything was just Groundhog Day. So I thought, okay, I don't know what I want to do with my life yet. Why don't I try videos and then try doing things I've never done before as a way to like experiment and see what I enjoy doing. And so it was kind of like a two-sided attempt at trying something out. And then 6 years in, I guess, of pursuing that mission, I'm still doing it and I'm loving it and I'm learning new layers of what, you know, our slogan is seek discomfort. So I'm learning new layers of what that can do to your life. And there's both external and internal discomfort. I think last year was a lot of internal, you know, like inner seeking for how do we find joy and how do we find peace of mind when the world is collapsing.
Existential discomfort.
Yeah, existential discomfort. And I've learned a lot through that, but definitely the adventure and the travel is like, for me, like what gives me most excitement.
How do you guys balance, like on YouTube, it's all about creating repeatable formats and doing things that are recognizable, but also your brand is pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. So how do you balance things that you're doing, you know, frequently that the audience recognizes, but also keeping it fresh for yourself? That's something we wonder about a lot.
To put on onesies every once in a while.
It's a good question. I really wonder that for you guys as well, because it's hard. Like we get very bored very quickly when we do something like for too long. Like it's for a while we were doing sneaking in videos and I love it, but the rest of the guys didn't. And so that got old for them and they're like, let's stop doing that. And I was like, well, I don't mind it, but I guess we can move on, you know? And like, you know, and like there's like those formats that come up and we're just like, should we just stop doing this now, I guess, and move on? And the challenge.
And did you move on
like
while those were still at the height of popularity?
Yeah. Some of the last few ones we posted were the most popular ones we ever posted. And we just never did them again after that.
That takes like a real, I think like a creative, a real confidence in yourself to say, hey, this thing is really working. The audience likes it, but this is not true to me creatively. Right. We're going to go on to something else.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, we've tried to balance that of like, how do we come up with new things? And then how do we keep delivering why people subscribed in the first place? And I think our audience, because of how like our videos have so many different genres and, you know, they attract different kinds of people. It's been interesting to see over time that evolve and change and grow. And we kind of almost trained our audience to expect like not chaos, but just like something completely random every week rather than like, you know, something, I guess, you know, that you'd expect. But sometimes we do get in, we have a few formats that we still go back to, like asking strangers to do things is something that is reoccurring. And we just did one for the first time since COVID a couple weeks ago, which was great. Eric came with us. We figured that elevators are like the most awkward place to meet strangers. Like when you're in an elevator, it's like just silence and you're just standing there and you're like, what's up? Yep. And then you're just waiting.
Hoping you don't fart.
And we were like, wouldn't it be funny if we tried to convince someone to go on an adventure with us in an elevator? So like elevator pitch. So before they get off, can't get off. Before they get off, you have to convince them. And the craziest thing we kind of thought, we were in Miami and we're like, could we fly to Puerto Rico? We've never been. And convince someone to go with us and we have to pitch them in the elevator. So we did that and it was so difficult. It was so hard.
Not really? As fun as it looks. Yeah.
Everyone was like, wow, being on a Yes Theory adventure is...
Like, I would love to do an old school Yes Theory video. And then I was like, this is miserable.
38 hours. We spent 2 days asking 1,000 people.
2 days I was in elevators. Not only rejections, but there's things that didn't make it into the video. Can I talk about it?
Yeah, you can.
Dude, we almost got beat up by this. Oh my god! So
let's
cut it out
in the video
because we're like, our editors were afraid that we would get sued by this guy.
We weren't like, delete the footage. I told him it'd be fine, but we weren't around to like make sure it made it into the edit. Dude, I feel like the moment I started filming with Yes Theory, it just got like so negative.
Yeah,
like,
it's never happened to us ever. Like no one's gotten aggressive.
It's like I just
what changed?
Create chaos. I was like, it's me.
I mean, you have such an aggressive demeanor and like a kind of like a, you know, resting man.
I'm just so surprised because I feel like people in Miami are up for adventure.
Dude,
you think would be like, yes, let's go.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We snuck into this bougie hotel. We were sneaking into places and sitting in their elevators for hours.
It was awkward. They would sit in elevators and people would go in and there's nothing is pressed.
and then Thomas,
they come in and they're like, are you going somewhere? We're like, we're just holding the camera.
You're holding the camera too, right?
Yeah, so yeah. That's disorienting. So we're trying to make it like a little discreet. Like he's holding it kind of like at his chest.
They noticed right away. And the moment that people would enter, we didn't have enough time in some buildings. There weren't enough floors. So the moment doors would close, Thomas would press every floor.
Oh my
God. So that we would have more time to pitch.
No way.
It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
No wonder you guys.
She's like,
cursed out by some dude.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. I'm like, here, I'm just doing my thing at my hotel. Maybe I'm on a business trip. Maybe I'm here on a vacation. I walk in, somebody throws a camera in my face. They smash all the buttons and are like trying to prank me.
Imagine it's so much worse. Like, you're leaving the continental breakfast because you need to go poop right now. And you get on the elevator and some jackass hits every single button. You're like, no, you don't understand.
Leave the country with us. Yeah. No, it gets worse. It wasn't just someone cursing us out in an elevator. It was me and Amar in an elevator and he was getting into a flow and he was really excited. And then this like 20-something-year-old woman walks in and she's like really engaged in Amar's pitch. And then she's like, yeah, tell me more. And he's like, you can't step out of the elevator until you agree. So stay in the elevator. We're going to go up and down as we talk. Whoa. So we're like going up and down and he pitches the whole thing. And she's like, yeah, I'm in. And she seems like super interested and like very like level-headed.
It's
and
the perfect guest.
Perfect guest. She's amazing. So we're like, okay, let's step out, meet Thomas. Thomas is outside sitting in the lobby. He's like, oh my God, hi. And we're like meeting her. And she's like, hey, is it okay? Like I have a boyfriend. Is it okay if like I invite him? And I'm like, yeah, sure. That sounds great. And then it gets awkward. She's like, actually, we're like in a little bit of a fight. And so we're standing.
Anxious listening to this.
So anxious. So we're standing in a lobby. I'm holding a camera. It's three dudes, this girl. And then I say loudly, don't bring him. Like jokingly. Because they're in a fight. Out of nowhere, a shirtless, like giant
shirtless
redneck, drunk redneck, like southern
burnt
dude.
Shoulders.
Bear hugs her, like throws her out of the frame and looks at me and goes, delete the fucking footage. And he starts running at me. He's wasted. And he's like, I love her. You don't understand. And she's like, babe, stop. They're funny. And like, it's so, it's so iPad and we're in the middle of this like fancy hotel and Amar like his like instincts to defend me, like he jumps in front of me and pushes the guy away and the guy's like, delete the fucking footage. And Amar becomes like an aggressive feminist and he looks at her and he's like, I'm not deleting the footage unless she wants me to delete the footage. She's like, do you want me to delete the footage? And she's like, no, let's calm down. And he's like, fuck you guys. And he's like coming at me. And when you watch back the footage, you just hear me. Like, I'm still recording, but you hear me above the mic. I deleted the footage. I swear, man, I deleted the footage. And I'm just shitting my pants. And they're like, the dude tries to like punch Amar. And then we hear the front desk.
Where are you?
We're in Miami, some bougie hotel. Yeah. So we hear the front desk. They're like, call the cops. So Amar, he's like, I don't want to get deported back to Egypt. So he leaves right away. And then Thomas and I try to do the nice guy thing where like we reach out to shake hands and we're like, hey man, footage is deleted. Like, look, I showed him like an old clip. I'm like, it's deleted. You're all good. And he's like, thank you guys. Like, let's hug it out. Sorry. Like, I got a little aggressive.
I just love it when like big bro-y guys want to hug.
Yeah. And then after the hug, he got angry again. He's like, but if you didn't fucking delete the footage, I swear to God, I'm going to fucking kill you. And I was like, okay, but let's hug it out. It just kept going up and down. So then desk guy came and Thomas was like, should we leave? And the guy's like, please.
So please leave.
You guys have a Patreon or something? Because I want that bonus footage.
That footage is so
dude,
crazy.
It is crazy. And we decided not to put it out because the guy was literally attacking us on like, delete the freaking footage.
Well, hey, I'm glad we got the story.
You, I guess. Or yeah. Something.
I would have tried.
Tripod exclusive. Exactly. One of the guys that we asked just in the elevators got back to us and said, you have to blur my face and all this stuff. Like, just someone who was just one of the no's for like, 1 second. And that's the weird thing is at this point we're at the people will find it, right? Like this guy will probably find it. Someone will figure out, will recognize, you know, even his voice or whatever, right? So we just decided not to put it. I was for putting it in.
Do you have someone outside the elevator with a clipboard with a release being like, oh, excuse me, you need to sign this release?
They don't come from BuzzFeed. They don't even know what releases
are.
You
just bad boys? Y'all are just bad boys
about it? You guys are just bad boys?
Yeah.
No releases?
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
They're filming out in the world. If the people consent on camera.
You can't do that in a hotel, though.
Yeah.
That's private property.
That's the problem. We were totally in the wrong. Like, we had no case.
You need a location release?
You need a location release. You need a
talent release.
Image release, a talent release.
You guys still do all that?
Yes.
Wow.
You guys
still do. You guys follow the law?
Shit
buttoned up. You think Capital One wants to sponsor us if we don't have things
someday
locked up?
We need to sell this catalog of content to a streaming platform, and we can't do that unless we have paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, but imagine.
Is that why we do it? Yeah. I just do it because I don't know.
And we'd get sued. But that's one of the best reasons.
Training. I guess that's one. Yeah, when you come up in a major media company, they ingrain in you like, you can't rip off other people's shit.
It's pretty embarrassing, though, to sue Yes Theory for not wanting to be in a video. Like, how non-spontaneous.
That guy.
I said no, and I'm suing you.
Yeah.
The people that complain to have like, it's always like a bad reason. Like the guy that wanted his face blurred, he had like 6 beers in his hands in an office building. So he was clearly like stealing beers from the office. It was like the dude that took too many LaCroix at BuzzFeed, same thing. Yeah. And like if my face was, I used to steal all their snacks. Like,
it's not stealing.
It's not stealing. It's complimentary.
Yeah. Were you working overtime ever and not getting paid for it?
I never left the office.
They were stealing.
So that was Eric's start of like, hey, come join us for a bit.
So how did you all meet each other? What happened there? Because you're from different parts of our lives, so it's very interesting that you're together.
It was weird.
A very unexpected morning for me. I knew none of this was happening.
You walked in, you looked at us, you
for
like,
the record,
like,
yeah, this was not planned.
No, not at all.
Keith and Thomas got breakfast together for that aforementioned video.
Is that the guy from Yes Theory hung in our office?
Yeah. In your brand new office, like, what is going on right now?
I started a YouTube channel over during COVID, which is funny to hear both of you guys talk about how difficult COVID was for your channels, because that's my only solo YouTube experience,
that
really.
Sucks.
Yeah, it was during COVID, because everything I was doing came to a halt. And I was a big fan of Yes Theory, and I had this video that my mom accidentally became friends with a scammer from Pakistan, like over the phone.
Oh, wow.
She was like super lonely during COVID, I guess, and she like striked up a conversation with a scam guy, and then they exchanged WhatsApp numbers and became best friends. So
that's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a great story.
Yeah, they have like 100 pages of text over WhatsApp, and like she knows everything about him. So I
has just real
and
quick.
No has money he, has been wired either way.
She tried to wire him money at some point, and then he felt bad and he said, please, please, please don't wire me the money. No. And then they just, but sometimes he'll still like fall back into his tropes and be like, can you just send me an iPhone maybe? And then he'd be like, never mind. I don't know.
So like a scammer with a heart of gold.
Yeah. I'm wondering if he updates her. It's like, hey, pulled off a successful scam today.
Oh, that would be, I don't know. I got to ask my mom how that conversation has been going.
Okay, but please go on.
I thought that it was like a cool idea for Yes Theory. I thought that they like some sort of thing of befriending a scammer where we go to Pakistan and like meet the guy. And I don't know. And so I DM'd him. Well,
wasn't his dream to want to become a YouTuber?
His dream was to become a YouTuber. And
we
so
thought, could we help the scammer become a YouTuber?
Yeah. I mean,
what is that? Leave his scam
and get him to
behind.
Quit. Yeah, and quit his scam.
What is YouTube
life?
But the ultimate scam?
Yeah. I was going to hire him to just start scamming people into subscribing to my channel. That was my ultimate goal. Oh. Just call.
That's pretty funny, too.
Hire a call center to grow subscribers. But so I DM'd Amar the idea. And then he called Amar, who's another Yes Theory member. And then we just FaceTimed and we talked about it. And it didn't happen because of COVID. And then Thomas, you kind of reached out and were like, wanted to mentor me and just give me advice and guidance, which was so cool and awesome. And then we just started hanging out and talking. And then I just started joining in on adventures and videos. And now I decided to stop YouTube for a little bit because I wanted to focus on acting. And then they were like, come and film with us and work with us. And I was like, okay, fuck it. Let's experience this. So, yeah.
It's funny to see how different people have found different homes on the internet, like post BuzzFeed, which is where we all started. And you started sort of like so much later than we did at BuzzFeed. And I feel like you were one of the only personalities left for a while.
You want to have a secret? Yeah. Eric, I mean, your content was inspiring to us.
Oh, yeah. You did like, such good videos.
Who is this fucking kid making our shit better than we are?
Yeah.
We gotta meet this kid.
Because in New York, no one got what I was doing. They all hated me. They were like, what is this human? So that's very cool to hear.
That, by the way, I didn't feel that way. That was all.
Of course. No, it's crazy how I got... I was just trying to... They really didn't want personalities. They almost didn't hire me because I told them I wanted to be an actor. And they were like, this guy is not the thing. We want hands. We want more tasty stuff. Yeah. We don't want personalities because everyone's leaving. And so I was really trying.
You proved them right, by the way.
Yeah. And then I left. I kept telling them, I'm like, people are going to leave. Like, just be okay with it. You just embrace it and have like churn out amazing people constantly. But they were like, no, I'm too scared. We can't have any more Wild at BuzzFeed videos. And
which you also did.
Yeah. Which I also did. And so, but I was just trying. And then I was just trying to make videos with people and personalities. And Eugene was walking by one day. He was visiting the New York office. And I was doing a extreme try not to laugh video.
Yeah. Oh, that one.
And then I asked my manager, I was like, should I just walk up to Eugene and ask him to be in the video? And they were like, no, probably not.
Don't you look Eugene in the eye. Also, whenever you speak to Eugene, take a breath mint first.
Yeah. Don't come near Eugene. And then I just ran up and I was like, hey, can I make you laugh for like 10 minutes? And he's like, okay, yeah. And then just walked into the room and that video blew up. It did great. It was really fun. And then I just started like hitting you guys up all the time to make videos.
Yeah, we made a couple videos together too.
It was really, but I came towards the end of the BuzzFeed. I actually met us
on our last day.
Last day, yeah. I actually only applied because of a YLF BuzzFeed video. I saw a YLF BuzzFeed video.
Did you take that to mean there was a job opening?
Yeah. I saw a job opening and I was also like, it doesn't sound that bad. Like, this sounds pretty cool. And so,
you're right. I think that's a thing we don't talk about is that lots of it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it was dope. It's like a creative like mecca. There's so many cool people. It's a great time. A lot of resources to make cool stuff. You could be inspired by your peers and you were also, though, constantly trying to prove that you were good enough to work there, which is maybe like a little toxic.
A melting point of like young creative people all striving to make things.
I was auditioning for SNL at the same time that I got the job at BuzzFeed. And the excitement that I had being a fellow at BuzzFeed was equivalent to if I had gotten hired on SNL, which is crazy for an actor to think that a social media job could have done that. And so I always thought it could have been a incubator for just like it, which it was for you guys. But when I got there, that stopped. And I thought it could have continued and something.
I think that would have been, yeah, the ideal version.
It would have been
incredible. They never wanted it to be an incubator, though. Like even like we became who we were because we purposefully didn't do what they wanted. They were like, you four shouldn't be making Try Guys videos. It's four people's energy making one video. That's not good. It's like, yeah, but it's a video that's four times as good as other videos. Like it should work out. And they're like, yeah, it's not good. And they're like, you should get other people to be Try Guys. I'm like, well, no one else wants to be, first of all. And second, like, we have a good thing going. Let's just keep exploring it. It's working. Let's keep doing it.
So fascinating. Yeah, it's all about efficiency. Like and they actually made me per every month, I could only make X amount of videos that I was in, and then I had to produce videos I wasn't in because they were like, we don't want to support you wanting to be in videos, which is so fascinating.
They are weird about that. I do remember, I mean, like, I was a manager for a while at BuzzFeed, and then I also had managers, and sometimes my managers would tell me to have a manager-esque conversation with a talent telling them that they shouldn't be in videos as much. I'm like, what am I supposed to say? They clearly like being in videos. They're good at videos. How do I have this conversation? You know, being like, well, I think to, you know, encourage your growth as a media creator, you know, you should build some behind the camera skills. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess. This feels really, you know, disingenuous for me to have that conversation when, like, I'm then going around and being like, well, really pretty good thing for me would be to be in videos, so I'm only gonna make videos that I'm in.
The funniest part was that they would actually encourage people who didn't want to be personalities to be personalities, and people who did want to be personalities not to be personalities.
So
I remember very specifically that I would like try to put my like Twitter or Instagram handle or even just my name on a video, like on like giving myself a lower third, like, you don't need to have your name on it. And I was like, but it's me. And then like 2 months later, someone else who like wasn't trying to be a personality had their name on a video. And I literally took that video over to that manager and said, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You said we aren't supposed to have our names. Like, well, it's different. I was like, how is it different? It's like, well, because it's just different. It's like, it's not different. And then the next video I made, I put my name and handle on it. And then I waited for them to tell me.
Yeah, I mean, they had a policy where, you know, the main account, say, would like post like a photo of you or a photo of maybe like me and Ariel or something. And like they had a policy to not tag individual accounts, which makes no sense.
So weird.
I was hated for that body paint video because I found like a loophole where I was like, I'm going to make the premise about me trying to, because I couldn't put my handles in, and I was like, I know I'm gonna leave this place, I need to like get some sort of clout. And so I was like, I'm gonna make a series about trying to get a million followers on Instagram.
Oh, brilliant. That was the
very
hack.
Smart.
But I was hated for it. So the video was like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, cover body paint works well on Instagram, so I'm gonna post that on my Instagram and see how it does. And then I didn't get any followers. So sad. Boohoo, you guys should go follow me. Oh, and they were all really mad at me for it. And then everyone started trying to get their handles in. But to add Thomas really quick into this conversation, what's super weird about being in this whole group, it feels very serendipitous, which is Thomas's favorite word. He uses it a lot. When I was at BuzzFeed, I used to watch Yes Theory all the time. That's why it's so crazy to be in this room. And I had multiple meetings when you guys released the Wim Hof documentary. I was still at BuzzFeed and I watched it, and it was the first time I thought like YouTube was reinvented, like something brand new was being put on YouTube, which was like a fully fleshed out documentary that was so well done. And I kept having meetings with all these managers where I was like, this is what we need to be doing. Like, this is changing the game. And they were like, no, let's just do another like quick, like you swap Russian food with Americans. Let's just do that. I was like, okay. But it's really crazy to all be in the same room now, because these are like the two people I looked up to on YouTube, the two groups. That's very cool.
You know, I actually remember I also similarly watched lots of Yes Theory videos when I was working at BuzzFeed with Aria. And then we made, I don't know what video inspired it, but we made I Hired a Friend on Craigslist. I made it with Aria.
Yeah.
Fully inspired. I do the Wim Hof. I have a huge question.
Yeah.
When you got in the water, were you not a little worried that you were going to get frostbite on your dick?
No, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
Like, I was seeing these headlines in my head. Like, YouTubers loses his hands in dumb experiment in Poland. Like, I was like, this is horrible. Like, I was hearing my mom's voice telling me, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done the whole time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I've done ice baths since then. Mm-hmm. So the Wim Hof experience, Wim Hof is Iceman.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this cabin in Poland where he takes people through this kind of boot camp of gradual cold exposure and breathing therapy and all these things. And we thought we were going to do that. But when we arrived and he saw we had Seek Discomfort on all our sweaters and t-shirts, he said, okay, Seek Discomfort? All right, let's do it. Like, let's do it. Let's dial it up. Let's do it.
He just guys wanna, threw you right in. To-
yeah, yeah. These guys want to seek discomfort? Like, let's bring it to them. And so he, like, we start the day with cliff jumping into ice water and we're all kind of like getting out.
God.
And a lot of energy and all this? That.
I didn't know that was part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So that was intense, you know, and then he seemed like we're all kind of like laughing and screaming and because you just jump in for a few seconds and get out. And so the next day he wakes up and he's like, his son was really insisting on us making this like a scientific piece to explain like the benefits of cold exposure and breathing. And then, can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Of course.
Yeah, we wake up the next morning and we're all trying to get breakfast and Wim goes, fuck the breathing, fuck the training, we go now. And we're like, what? He's like, no breakfast, we go into the water. You do it great.
Yes. Theory. Like, he was crazy. He's crazy.
He's a he's a total loose cannon. And we're all like, what? And even his son is like looking at us like, what's going on? And we're like, you're organizing this. What do you mean what's going on? And he's like, okay, we don't need any training. We just go in the water 10 minutes below freezing.
Minutes.
Yeah, it was below freezing because it was a moving body of water. All the lakes and everything was frozen. So we get in and a regular ice bath after a minute or two, you have a little bit of like, you know, the water's not moving, so you have a little bit of
your body creates
your body warms it.
I don't understand. Yeah, exactly. Right. But in this body of water, that's not happening. So like, you put your feet in, and every instinct in your body is telling you to get out. Like,
how do you stay
now? I got in, and I was like, I'm gonna leave in 30 seconds for sure. Like, absolutely, I'm leaving. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna at least give it a shot. You know, and then I get in, and then I think the energy of just all of us being together was the only thing that kept me
that
in.
That helps. Yeah.
I was, within a minute, I was like, I think I'm going to die if I don't get out right now. And then Wim just locked in on me because he saw that I was the weakest man. And like, Sky was in there with us. That also worked at
Oh, I didn't know Sky came with you for that.
Yeah, so she came with us. She was doing all right, you know. And
she's cool.
Yeah, she's doing great. I'm the only one that's like, I'm not going to make it. This is not going to work. This is terrible. And so Wim just locks in with me and just walks me through it. And he just goes, breathe. We're going to do this. Breathe. And I'm just like, no. I'm going out. I'm going to leave. And then push through it. And
like positive peer pressure.
Positive peer pressure. Right. But honestly, I think it was one of the more like profound experiences that I had because I really did push myself beyond what I thought was possible. And I definitely do think that it was not safe. But coming out of it, I felt... like I had a renewed sense of like self-confidence in a way. Cause I was like, okay, like I was capable of more than I thought.
Yeah.
And there is something to this, you know? And what he was trying to prove to us is that, we always underestimate like what we're actually capable of. We constantly do that in our lives. And a lot of it is mental. And so what he wanted to show, it wasn't just like, fuck the breathing, fuck the training. It was like, I want to show these guys that even with just conviction, you can do anything, even something that you literally believe is impossible.
So talk me through this, because we haven't admittedly done a video that puts us that far out of our comfort zone in a while. COVID has a big part to do with that, right? Like, we haven't actually done any of these insane physical things in about a year.
I had a tarantula on my face 2 days ago.
Okay, we've done some crazy things.
But like, no, that was me thinking that. I was like, wow, this is really uncomfortable. Well, it's been a while. I've like... filmed something where I'm this uncomfortable.
And also
cooking without a recipe is hilarious and very engaging, but it's not that far out of my comfort zone.
And we've been doing it within the confines of kind of trying to keep a 9-to-5 because we have this group over here. Ned's got a baby to go home to. My body hurts all the time. So like we've kind of made this comfortable structure over here, but part of our shtick from the beginning is that we are willing to try crazy things in order to understand people, but we really seldom want to ever do it. Like when we were getting our bellies zapped or whatever we were doing, swimming with sharks, we were fucking terrified. Do you get off on this? Like, are you like, no, I want to push it farther? Or are you doing things that you know that you actually don't want to do?
Right. There's discomfort, but then there's seek. So you're yeah. looking for it, but yeah. you know it's not like pleasurable.
Is it yeah. like when one of you says, I don't want to do that, does that make the other people say like, okay, well then we should?
Yes, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bit of that. I think it's, that's a great question.
It's interesting. I want to answer just one thing on that is Please. That
I asked there's about definitely, 10 questions.
There's definitely a difference between the uncomfortable and seeking discomfort because mm-hmm. when I've joined on really not that difficult of adventures, I'm just uncomfortable and like terrified, but they're seeking it. And like, yeah. They're uncomfortable. They're enjoying it. Like when I used to watch the videos, I used to think like, oh, I'm going to be like Thomas, you know, like it's like not that hard, but like I would be the one that wimps out of these things. But now when I'm next to Thomas, I'm like 10, like 100 degrees more uncomfortable than Thomas is. So like, they're not average people. Like they can handle way more. We just went into a jungle in Puerto Rico. It wasn't that crazy, but it was like I call it an abandoned jungle, even though
jungle. And he got stung by like a little spider.
I thought I was gonna die.
He was like, drawing little circles like, on your hospital. Hand.
It like inflamed, and they were all like, "Dude, shut up! You're fine." I was like, "No! Breathe now. Breathe."
I don't know jungle spiders,
especially what? Abandoned jungle afraid. Spiders.
Abandoned jungle
I
spiders.
I got stung too. It was fine.
See, they're
call in the medevac.
Tell us where is your family from? So my family's from Sweden.
Yeah, we're me and Eric. We got weak two genes. We're crumble under pressure.
Yeah, we have a high chance of death. Like we have to be really careful about everything. It's stressful. So you guys definitely have a way stronger tolerance, I think, than most people.
But I think it comes with it's. I've been doing it for a while now, so I think I have a lot higher tolerance than I used to have. Like things that used to make me uncomfortable are I have a much higher tolerance towards them now. Like going out to ask strangers for. Insane things used to give me like heart attacks. Like I was anxious the whole time. Mm-hmm. And now also because I approach it differently, I think about what this can potentially do for the person. You know, like we've done it enough and it's a lot of people change their entire careers after these things. You know, like
I bet.
People have gone public speaking, really? Like things going on just because they said yes to one of our videos. People have gone in the news. Like,
yeah, your experiences could realistically, genuinely change someone's life.
So that's the, now I approach it with that, right? I don't go like, oh, I'm asking these people for a favor. I'm asking them, I have a favor that I'm seeking to give to someone.
Yeah.
And that shift has helped me. And so I've changed these little dials in my head that have helped me. And I definitely used to be way more like picky with my routine, picky with how I do things. And then, after a while, when a few months ago I did, I train hopped a train in Mauritania across a desert. Mauritania is a country that's 97% cool. in the Sahara Desert, a bit south of Morocco. Mm. And it goes from the smack in the middle of the Sahara Desert out to the coast. And it's like a 20-hour train ride at night in the Sahara. And you're sleeping on iron ore.
I watched that video. It was very, very cool.
Thank you.
It was like... I read it. I was like, you can't do that. When I played this video, I was like, you can't do this.
Well,
this
that was just so hard in so many ways. Just being on that trip in general was hard. Like the logistics, like nobody travels to that country. So there's a lot of, the people were amazing and so hospitable. But yeah, I've just been forced to let go of so many things that I usually need, you know, like it's just, you're just kind of, you have no other choice. And with practice, you just kind of get used to that feeling a little more, but there are still a lot of things that do make me uncomfortable. And so that's the mental thing about
what's your top five?
Top five.
Me calling the governor Dougie.
Yeah, we met the governor of North Dakota last week. That's a whole other story.
That made him so uncomfortable. It's like me being stupid makes him really uncomfortable. It's weird, but like jumping out of space.
Out with us.
Yeah. You guys would make him very uncomfortable.
Oh, I love
it's
this.
It's interesting. It's not like it's well, not he was, dangerous.
We walked into the governor's office and he goes, "Hey, is Dougie here?" His name is Doug Burgum. So I just go, "Dude, you can't call him Dougie."
And then
we just turned around and walked out because the secretary was looking at us like, "What are you asking me right now?" Like we're trying to meet the governor as like a favor, and I need to even get to the point where I can pitch him like, I want to do something with you that you've never done before. And so when we start with like, is Dougie around, we're like, okay, my chances are so screwed. Like we've done episodes where we try to meet people that are hard to meet, and you have to like really, the gatekeepers are the ones that will decide. So good impressions. It's like, and then he did that, but it was funny. We're gonna leave it in the video. It's great. But I was like, damn, we just burned all our bridges. But it was fun. It worked out. We ended up meeting him.
But what are your real top five?
Honestly, I still struggle with heights. We've done so many variations of this, but I still get vertigo. Like, I don't think I can get used to, like, I won't like not do it, but it'll still scare me every time. Skydiving less weirdly, like, cause it's, you just jump out of a plane and your brain can't really process the heights. Like it's a different relationship with heights, but every time we do things,
and there's like so much pressure on your body, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like you don't feel like you're falling. It's just like there's so much air on you. So it's a bit different, but we did an episode two summers ago that was, we set up a high line. So like, basically a three-way triangular net in front of a canyon. To sleep on it overnight. Yeah,
that's freaky.
Because your brain is telling you this is wrong.
Like, yeah.
For you to actually be on that, you need to ignore evolution.
Yeah. But then at night, a storm hit. And so the whole thing started flopping. And like, you could hear the like lines like start flopping. And it was... The net stretched overnight. We were three people on it. So one side was like much more stretched. So we were like kind of constantly rolling off.
Oh my falling. God.
Well, hey, that would make the eventual fall less and less, right? As you slope down.
Yeah, so you it was horrible. And then it started raining. And
right there, that is the difference. We would be inside. we would end the video early. We would get the beats we need to and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, well, I was on Call that OSHA. Net. I was like, I don't know. I was, my adrenaline was like, I was in constant fight or flight. Like, I was like, I need to survive right now was like the emotions in my body. And I was worried that if I even tried to push through, I wouldn't have any energy left in the morning to get off. Because getting off this thing, you have to like re-harness yourself onto the thing and unhook one. And it's super complicated. So at like 3 a.m. I go like, I need to get off. I need to get off now.
Okay, I'm gonna reveal a little bit about myself here as a YouTuber and a filmmaker, a little bit of a lie guy over here. But part of my brain goes like, all right, well, as a filmmaker, I just need to get the beats to tell the story and get out of here. And it sounds like you are like, no, I am here for this experience.
Yeah,
and
100%.
The experience is the video.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like you're thinking about that first and foremost.
Yeah.
And no part of you is going like, well, I can, you know. It's fucking dangerous.
We've already had the second act break, so it's pretty close. We just need to have breakfast next morning, talk about how it changed ourselves.
I mean, our classic story is we were on a life raft in the middle of the ocean, which you did as well.
Yep.
And I've seen your video, and your video is so much fucking more intense. But so this is a classic Try Guys video where we were out on a raft, shark started swimming underneath us. There was a huge storm coming. Keith was vomiting like crazy. And what was supposed to be, like an 8-hour video, we were like, hey guys, we need to get out of here in the next, 45 minutes or whatever it was. So we just craned it and we just like, cool, we're just going to get the story beats. And we're like, hey, everyone shut up. We're going to do this beat where we're like exhausted for 5 minutes and, film that moment. Like, okay, cool.
We were pretty exhausted.
We were, but you know what I mean? Like,
imagine how exhausted you'd be if you were being slung around for 5 hours.
But we kind of approached it as like, hey, let's grab these moments. Whereas you are hanging out on a net that is hazardous to your life.
Yeah.
You have to see the visual. I think it's the scariest video I've ever seen you do. And Thomas actually thinks you're gonna die. Yeah. It's insane to capture at 3 a.m. pitch black. It's like the Grand Canyon. It's like abyss.
Yeah.
And you're crawling on a thin rope to try and get back to the ledge to get off at 3 a.m. It's like he's crying throughout the entire video.
The camera
it's just pure
cut
fear.
When I was like, I started to like panic, and I've never panicked in a video before. And I start to have, because what happened as I tried to get back on the rope, my harness was clipped around another rope, so I got stuck. So I tried to swing off of the net to get on this line, I got stuck, and now I'm halfway in between both, and so I'm having to like pull the weight of my entire body to climb back up and like unhook and redo it. And it was...
I mean, I'm going to ask a serious question. Like, do you think that you had a chance of dying that night? And is that worth it?
No, I think... So basically, we had two harnesses always. So when you unhook one, you're still hooked to a line.
Something.
So every time you need to unhook on one to go to another, so you have to unhook two, right? So you do one, and then you're still hooked.
So even while sleeping, you are hooked to a net.
Yeah, so we had a line. Yeah. So when we're on the net, we're still hooked to... there was like an extra like three-way line above us, and we were also hooked to that. Oh, okay. So we weren't like free-floating and could have just slipped off. If you slip off, though, you are hanging from pretty high up, and you'll need like everyone to like pull you back up. So you don't want to fall off. It's not good, right. You know? But see, it was...
I'd be thinking the entire time that just the ropes would all break. I wouldn't like...
That was my fear. Yeah. It's like I didn't have... The thing is like the guy we were with is like a professional Highliner guy, right? And he had an extra person who was there who would check the lines. But I just didn't... I didn't have faith in the lines. I was like, if one of these snaps, we're all screwed here. And I just didn't trust it. And it's just because I don't have that much experience. Like, it's hard for me to believe that these lines that I saw being set up like are fine, you know, like I'm like at a roller coaster I have more faith because I'm like, this is an enormous company that checks on these things every day. We set these up ourselves and I was there and I saw it happen. But
that's
it was
why
fine.
The old country roller coasters a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, small company.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm having heart palpitations.
Irregular maintenance.
Just listening to this. Me and Zach are making eye contact. We're feeling a lot of anxiety right now.
But that's the thing with the experiences we want to do the full thing, and I don't ever want to make it. Like when we do the, we have a series that we actually was a series that we did that was 24 hours in a foreign city with no money. And we actually did leave our wallets. You know, there was no cash in our pockets. That was like a secret stash. Yeah, it was like literally zero. We had a phone so that you could have called if you were in an emergency, but that was it, you know? So we tried to make it as authentic because we're also not like good actors, so it wouldn't look realistic. Like we're really bad at making it seem like we're struggling when we're not, so we have to actually struggle. So
and are you thinking about video structure in your mind, or are you
absolutely it? I am thinking about the structure of it, and I'm like, okay, I because there's times it's not natural to always express out loud how you feel constantly, when I get anxious, I get very quiet, and I just kind of like need to walk away and be alone for a while. Like I don't like talk about it, and so I'm forcing myself to obviously express that. If I'm like, okay, I'm pretty terrified right now, I talk about it more than I would usually.
And if nothing's going on, you can say, okay, let's cut the cameras so that the editor doesn't have as much footage to sort through.
Although they have a lot of footage.
Yeah, we have a lot of footage because we never really know where the thing is going to, like where the excitement is, where the main thing is going to happen, right? So then we just definitely tend to overshoot certain moments.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring up your favorite word, call this surprise morning podcast a little serendipitous, because right now we're at a point like we're emerging from COVID, trying to figure out what is the next few months of Try Guys look like. And part of me is like, yeah, let's fuck Zach up. let's really go there. Let's do some wacky shit.
Yeah.
You want to join for an adventure?
Hell yeah.
We've been trying to come up with something we can do together. I'm excited to arrive at that point. I know we will.
I think we're overthinking it. Just throw me in it. Just throw us in a video and let's do the same thing. Because we were like trying to think of this.
Some master collab.
Collab where there's like two different expressions, one on your channel, one on ours. Ah, fuck it. Just put me through one of the ringers and I'll show up.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, fuck me up.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of initially I hesitated too.
But also I'm very fragile.
Messaging even Keith about this idea because I was like, damn, we've been talking about doing something big. Is this like, does this feel too small? But then I was like, it's a good baby step to at least...
Come to Burger King with me.
Yeah. You know, you sort of suspend yourself above canyons, but I kind of do that when I eat the menu. You know? There are moments where I think I'm going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going through a whole training. I mean, it's like 2 days
before. Keith
is
our bravest member. His stomach has gone through
it. I certainly put my body through the most intense experiences, but it's like not what you think of as an intense experience. But just, trust me, it feels intense.
We should just call it Keith poisons himself at McDonald's. Keith poisons himself at Taco Bell.
Yeah. You ever gotten food poisoning from one of the episodes?
No, I haven't gotten food poisoning.
Well,
there's
a spectrum.
Just general
though.
Poisoning.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is food poisoning.
You fucked up your insides.
It's too much salt. It's not like I'm not vomiting, but I don't feel good. I'm glad that you can do really epic things, but also return to just fast food content as well.
Yeah. You know, it's different for us, but I'm excited to see how it's going to do. We've done some diet things in the past. Matt fasted for like 5 days, like only water.
Wow.
That was interesting. And then he tried vegan. Matt was usually our human guinea pig.
Body hacker.
But he's taking a bit of a break to write our book right now. So he's out and about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just decided to go for like a diet thing to see how it pertains to our daily lives, like how it's going to impact it.
I just learned about, so I have chronic pain, and I just learned that there is, I think it's like a 10-day water fast that people do that apparently is...
In Mongolia?
No, I think it's like in the US, but you are so critical the first few days that you need to be in a hospital to be monitored because... anyway, I'll figure
it.
I don't want to...
intense.
Let's do
You're
it.
You're only drinking water for 10 days?
Something like that. But like apparently is great for chronic pain, and I'm like, that's like edge of... the needles, science / pseudoscience.
Hmm.
We will bleep this if this is not public, but someone on your team wanted to make a city, right?
Yeah, Amar. No, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amar wants to make a city.
Yep.
And one of the collabs that we joked about doing is that we would make a rival city next to your city.
Oh, that's so
and go
good.
To war. declare so war on Yes
well,
Theory.
We've been genuinely looking into abandoned towns for sale.
Yeah, well, if you find...
There are some.
But they're just close. Like a couple million. So it's like, well, is it worth it for you to drain everything?
If we can find like city abandoned towns, then we can invest in one and launch water balloons at each other.
Or what if we pool like a bunch of creators together and then we buy a YouTube city, like an abandoned city.
Wow, it's like the old Vine building, but better.
But with infrastructure. It's like this abandoned like...
with plumbing.
like a country, like cowboy looking town in Texas that's like $2 million. We're like, we can't buy that.
No rules, only views.
Yeah, exactly.
the only views law is
going viral. Yeah, exactly. Damn,
we're
going
to have to get internet installed in the town.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Gonna
fiber.
Be a,
yeah. It's fiber.
That's going to be a big process.
Yeah,
that is true.
I'm low down.
I'm into it. I think it's super cool. I love when you drive by things that look like semi-abandoned, even like businesses that are like pretty big. You're like, man, what goes on in there now?
Yeah, totally.
What could it be? We could talk for days, so we should have you back on the podcast because you had some really crazy stories, and I imagine you have more, and I really want to hear them. But unfortunately, we do have to end this podcast. Before we do, of course, we have to get our favorite segment because sometimes you need advice, and the best person to get advice from is someone with less experience in life than you.
Yeah.
So now it's time to get advice that will go for Miles from our advice man, Miles Bonsignore.
So yeah, once again, I give this disclaimer to the guests. Usually I just do this alone in front of them, and now I sort of have to do it in front of other people. And
Miles, you're sorry, this is your type five.
This is your type five.
Lauren Michaels is in the audience.
Yeah, it's gonna be
it's
really
a good song.
Come on, okay. Miles, get us hype.
Here we go.
What the fuck is up, Miles Nation? How's it going, you stinky little sluts?
Okay. Oh, no.
You said you weren't going to disparage our audience.
Have you ever wanted to be a stupid little bird?
Oh.
Okay.
Have you ever wanted to hold on to a little string that's as long as your dingle?
Are you doing a carrier pigeon? Are you talking about carrier pigeons?
I'm getting more excited.
I can fly twice as high. Take a look. Bring a book. Fly a kite.
No.
That's the advice?
My advice for this week is to fly a kite.
Hell yeah.
Kites are sick as hell, especially when you're stoned as fuck.
Kites.
Keith, take it back. You take it back right now.
Kites suck.
So stupid.
This is not your segment. This is Miles' segment.
Okay,
that's right.
I was on Sunday. I went to the beach. popped a little at a Beyblade. and my friend had a kite, and we flew it on the beach, and it was a fucking treasure. Wow. I find it relaxing. I find it good for the soul. and it was fine.
That's nice.
Advice. Get a kite. Find a windy day and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that second part is very important, though, because I'm with Keith. If you don't have a windy day and you're out there like yanking it.
Yeah.
I was a fucking child in Tennessee. There was never any wind. And I did was run across my yard and just try to get that motherfucker to go in the air, and it wouldn't. So it was just a source of sadness.
Tennessee's pretty landlocked, huh?
It's just got so many hills, and like you'd think the hills would create wind, but somehow where my house was, none.
But the beach is often quite windy.
It was very windy.
And you can just sit there, let that puppy ride just up,
especially
up in the air.
Yeah, especially if you're baked Dorino.
I agree that being high would improve it.
California, it's legal, so not telling people.
Kites are legal.
Awesome. Kites are illegal.
I think it's actually still not technically legal to be high in public. just like how you can't like be drunk in public. It's public intoxication.
Delete it. Actually, I wasn't fucking like falling down.
I don't know, man.
You called it baked arena.
You thought you thought a kite was fun. You must have been pretty fucked up.
Okay, I need to tell you something, Miles.
Yeah,
I have never flown a kite. When I was a kid, we got a kite once, and my dad, I guess, couldn't figure it out or something.
What a loser!
I don't know. We couldn't fly a kite, and what? Like the only kite memory I have is someone put a kite up in the air, buried it in the sand, and then we tried to find it and like couldn't find the bottom and had to cut it, and it broke. But recently,
how's that possible? So it's connected to a string.
I know, but we like couldn't get to the bottom. It like
you
I don't
could.
Know.
So were you did dig further?
And were you on some Edamame
Blaze? I'm not blaming you.
Dad was there.
It was like the water washed over it. It moved. We like couldn't get deep enough.
Sounds like you were stonerito.
Recently, I saw a dude flying a kite, and it's like, kite technology has come quite a long way.
I agree.
And dudes are ripping this shit.
The two handle.
It is thrilling. And you know what? I was a little stoned to read as well.
But the two handers now, you can give a double handy and it's perfect.
Mesmerizing.
Yeah. A kite with a single string, get me out of here. But with two strings, it's a blast.
I'm going to say even better than flying a kite. Just go down to the dock and find the dude that's the kite guy.
Yeah, that's good.
The guy that brings his custom kites,
and
just watch him work magic in the sky.
Keith, you probably wouldn't like windsurfing then, huh?
No, windsurfing seems dope because it's a kite with purpose. Yeah. It moves me. I think I'm afraid of heights and stuff, but windsurfing, God, that looks amazing.
When they crest off of a wave and
then they just sit up like they're floating.
So, yeah, a lot of body strength.
Have you guys tried extreme sports? Like each of you pick an extreme sport for a day and you try it. Cool. Maybe you find
four-way
like
extreme sports video. We've done a few, but not a ton.
So like this is the
UFC fighting.
Like once again,
I feel like it's the most extreme. We did hang gliding,
but we did it off of like a 5-foot sand dune. It was like
it was scary.
30 degree incline. Whereas when you guys would do it, you would probably train for a month and jump off a cliff. And I kind of think that that would be a cooler video.
Yeah. Well, it certainly would have been. I think we had to like, that was just the only hang gliding place we could find in short notice.
Yeah.
But if you know, take more time to make it, then you can go to Costa Rica or whatever.
We got to make two videos a week, bro. We got four podcasts to make.
You guys make a lot more than we do. And that's part of the difference too, is like, you know, and sometimes it's fun, but sometimes it's also really hard when a video takes like 5 days to make and the fifth day you're like, damn, this is for one freaking video. And then the next week we're doing it again. Like, what are we doing?
Are you once a week regularly?
No, we kind of have broken it down in seasons now, which is just like a way for us to do like, okay, 8 to 10 episodes. Then we take like a couple weeks off to prep the next batch and then kind of
eight to ten episodes.
So it's like there's like an on and off period and we do basically one season per quarter. Oh. And then we just run it that way.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we're trying it out this year for the first time. It's working out for now. I think that obviously it's much better to be consistent all the time, but it was just hard for us to keep up. Like our videos have gone progressively more complicated to make and we come back with more and more footage, which is we're trying to come up with simpler ideas, but we just like can't. I don't know. Everything is like, let's go to the northernmost city in the world and that takes like days to get
there. As you said though, it's the long game, right? So it's what optimizes you right now doesn't mean it's what's going to optimize you for people sticking around forever. Yeah. Such a pleasure to have you guys. Yeah. I would gladly make this a 2-hour podcast, but we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll have you back and hopefully we'll get some kind of collab, whether it's buying a city or flying into the sky in the mystery balloon.
That sounds great.
But you can keep listening for another 10 minutes at patreon.com/tryguys for the after pod.
Guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, do all the things. You know what to do. Smash those buttons.
And check out Yes Theory on YouTube if you haven't. Yeah. If this is your first exposure, you're really going to enjoy their content. It's like ours, but better.
And go give a watch to Eric at Eric Tabox back catalog.
Oh, yeah,
you can watch
maybe
the video where he explained why he was quitting YouTube for a little bit.
And did a brand deal in my goodbye video. I'm pretty proud of that.
It was a fun one.
That's nice. Good. Yeah, First ever. That's real nice.
This is the only reason I made the goodbye video. I had quit before. I was like, I'm burnt out.
What was the brand?
It was Skillshare. I was like, I'm leaving and I'm going to go learn
and
a bunch
I'm
gonna of
go
stuff
learn
on Skillshare.
New skills. That's nice. That's
love
nice.
The pivot.
Yeah, that's good.
It was great. Very proud of that. The whole video
kind
was
of a bait and switch for the audience.
Yeah.
Keith, hit us with the official Tripod theme song.
Yes, 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 theory. No, 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 never stop watching. Yes, 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 theory. What a good, 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 good time.
Wow.
Tripod.
Did you just come up with that?
We actually sing that every single
time.
Yeah.
Every
time. Yes, we always advertise
the official
yes,
tripod
yeah,
song.
That's amazing.